Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning and welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Deanna Potter with Potter Coaching and Consulting, and I'm your host for today's edition of Sassy Sales and Business Development. And with me today is our leading lady, Cindy Matalucci, and she is the founder and executive producer and host of the Pulse SD. Welcome to our show today, and good morning, Cindy.
Good morning, Deanna. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. I am so excited to have you here with us today. You know, I'm one of your biggest fans, and I'm really excited about our topic today, because our topic today is the confidence conundrum, what it takes to stay determined when things get tough. And I will tell you, if I know one thing about you, Cindy, as we've become friends over the years and I have watched you become the powerhouse that you are in the world of video marketing, you are, I swear, an energizer bunny. And I'll tell you, it takes one to know one, because you know me, I'm not exactly the sleepy, laid-back person, but you, I'm in awe of you and all that you have achieved and done with your video marketing mega business that you are building, and just the story in the background and all that you are continuing to do. You know, one of the things that you and I have talked about, and a little bit about what our show today is about, is, you know, we talk to so many people in business, especially women, and, you know, they talk about having this dream about what they really want to do, but making that dream a reality is a whole different thing. It's a whole different ballgame. In my opinion, you've done that. And yet, you know, it always looks so easy on the outside, but you and I both know it takes a lot of hard work, a lot of late night hours, a lot of stress, a lot of details, and a lot of commitment. You know, and I like to jump right into my interviews, and I want to ask you, what caused you to decide that you wanted to leave corporate America and go out and start your own, you know, business in the world of video marketing?
That's a good question. So, I mean, I spent 17 years in sales and marketing, and it was funny, when I first came out to San Diego in 1997, I wanted to get into PR. I was like, I'm going to be this big PR person. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Well, you know, I had no connections out here. I didn't know anyone because I didn't grow up in San Diego. And so I ended up getting into sales, and I loved it. I loved sales. I loved marketing, you know, spent a long time doing that. And then what happened was about 3.5 years ago, most recently I was working at Paychex. I spent 13 years in the corporate world with Paychex. And I was putting these events on for these women, for this women's group that I had started, and I thought, you know, why can't we take you inside an entrepreneur's story? You know, San Diego's got so many great entrepreneurs. We've got so much going on here between the new bars, the restaurants, all the things that are kind of going on. And I thought, why can't we take you inside that and photograph that and film that? And so I went to, you know, three of my top clients at Paychex, gave them the idea. They loved it. They were my guinea pigs. And then we started filming and you know, taking photos and putting this together. So it kind of, it started as a passion project for me, and then it grew into a business. So it definitely was a slower kind of building burn. It wasn't something that just happened overnight, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. So when you say that this was like kind of a pet project, you were doing this after hours on top of the 40-plus hours a week that you were working at Paychex?
Exactly. So this for me was my creative outlet, because I always had that, you know, I love journalism, I love stories, I love kind of, you know, that fun kind of e-news or Entertainment Tonight kind of show. And I thought, why can't we bring something like this to San Diego? So it was just an idea that I had. And then that idea became a passion project. And then it got more fueled and more fueled and more excitement. And it, you know, really started to resonate with people. And so, you know, I was doing double duty. I was doing corporate world by day. And then nights and weekends, I was doing, you know, the Pulse. So, and then it just got to the point where I was so passionate. I mean, I just honestly really, really wanted to do just solely the Pulse. And so I had to make that decision and that transformation and take that leap to get into, you know, being the entrepreneur that I always wanted to be.
So talk to me about how, when you, because I find from my experience, when I'm talking with people that are trying to make that leap, and I was one of those too, I think many of us who own our own business came from, you know, that J-O-B, that real job, you know, the city vacation and the benefits and all that stuff, that safety area. And you emotionally, you're ready to jump out much faster than maybe logistically and financially you can afford to do so. So when did you know that it was time and it was safe to finally make the jump?
So I don't know. I never think that there's a perfect time. It would be great if there always was this perfect time. I mean, for me, I definitely think about the fact that I, you know, there were things that I could have done differently. I don't regret anything, though. I think everything happens for a reason. So for me, I was in the corporate world. I was, you know, my business was really starting to take off. And I kind of got to that point where I said, okay, how much money do I have in the account? Do I have enough, you know, to kind of fuel this business? And, you know, there wasn't as much as I wish there was. I wish I had a little more of a cushion. I wish I had done a few things differently. But mentally and passionately and, you know, my soul, I knew that I couldn't do the grind anymore every day in the corporate world. I had spent so much time making everybody else a lot of money, you know, and at the end of the day, you know, I thought, what if I have cancer? What if there's a bus with my name on it tomorrow?
Yeah.
You know, like life is so short, and you really have to, you only get one chance. So it's like, I thought, I got to take this leave. I was ready. I couldn't do my job anymore. I'm not one of those people that can do something half-assed, if you will. So I was number one at Paychex. You know, I was a top rep, and I thought, I don't want to be in that world anymore if I'm not going to be on top. I want to do what I want to do. And so I wanted to take all of my skills and really utilize that at the Pulse. And so I just kind of knew one day that it was, I couldn't do it anymore. And so I started making a plan. You know, I started kind of funneling the money, figuring out what I was going to do, going through my expenses, you know, as you know, doing like the spreadsheets and kind of figuring out how to make it work. And then just, you know, just took that leap.
So tell me, was it a slow building restlessness, or did one big event one day take place where you just said, that's it, today's the day?
I mean, I think it was a combination. I think it was a slow building in the fact that the business was kind of starting to boom over those 3.5 years, and I was getting more in demand, and we had more events to do, we had more videos to produce. It was just getting to that point. And then with Paychex, I did go to my, you know, my manager, and I said, hey, I was very honest with them. I'm thinking about leaving. I, you know, here's what I want to do. And they were great. I mean, they wanted to keep me. So it was like, how can we make this work? How can you work for us but also work, you know, on your company? And I think I tried that for 3 months, and then I think I was like, I just couldn't do it anymore, you know. So I think I think one of the deciding factors was, you know, we had gotten accepted to cover like the Sundance Film Festival. And then we started getting booked to travel to Las Vegas and to other locations. And I think that was where I decided I can't do this. I have to take that leap.
Gotcha. Now, you say we. Who did you have staff that you had hired, or who is that?
So I mean, I came up with the concept for the company. It was, you know, my idea, and I came up with the logo and what we were going to do. And then I didn't know anything about cameras or editing or anything when it came to video marketing. I was completely, you know, green when it came to that. So the first video we ever did for a client, I filmed it, which was very funny. I think we started with a flip cam, if you remember those little flip cams.
Yeah,
we started with that.
Yeah.
We started with that, and then we ended up getting a nicer camera. But I had to make a decision. Okay, I'm going to be on the videos because a lot of what we do is interview style. So I had to, my partner and my boyfriend, God bless his heart, I was like, you're my cameraman. So I put the camera, I gave him the camera and made him learn, you know, everything about the camera. So I think he loved me and hated me all at once with that.
I love it. I laugh because I can't tell you how many times over the years that I've been an entrepreneur in my business, I tell my husband, I don't need a computer person or an electrical guy. You're my IT. You're the janitor. You help me move my offices. Of course, we always enlist family and friends. That's the way this works.
And we try to see how much we can get out of him. And it's kind of funny because he does the website for me as well. So he's my web developer. So I'm always like, excuse me, can I make a meeting with my web developer, please? Because I need some stuff done.
Oh, I love it. Tell me, because you know, I know that, you know, it always sounds good when it's up and running and going well. But did you experience doubt and fear? And if you did, how did you combat that? And do you experience it now? Are there, I mean, when things are going good, they're great, but, you know, how do you deal with those moments of stress and fear? And, you know, did they hit you? And help us understand how, what kind of tools and behaviors and how did you manage that? And how can some of our listeners learn from that?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say I would be lying to say there's no fear. There's always doubt and fear. When I came up with the original concept of the business and then actually taking it and running with it, you know, there was a lot of doubt and fear. It was like, what if I show up to an event with this microphone and people laugh at me and think, you know, what is this girl doing? You know, so it's like that was one of the things. If you always fear, like, do I have a good idea? You know, do I have a good concept for a company? Are people going to resonate with that? So, yeah, I mean, I struggled with that. The other fear and doubt was, you know, the money thing. I was walking away from a six-figure income, and that's a big deal. I mean, that's not something that you just do, you know. So it was like, what if I can't, you know, reciprocate, or what if I can't come up with that same kind of income? You know, you always worry about that. But I feel like if you're doing what you're passionate about, that's gonna drive it. And at the end of the day, when it came down to the money, I know this sounds kind of silly, but I made a decision that it wasn't just about the money anymore. It was about being happy. And I wasn't happy in the corporate world anymore, and I wanted to be happy. So at the end of the day, if I made less money but I was happy, that was enough for me. So, I mean, that was a really big decision with everything. And then, you know, I think the other thing, which you know, Deanna, I mean, with fear, it always, if you're not doing something that's scaring you, you're not getting out of your comfort zone, you're not really growing as a person.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I feel like, you know, even though everything is, you know, is scary, you just have to sort of say, I got this. You have to come up with a mantra. You have to go with your gut, you know, go with your what your gut is telling you to do and stick by that, because there's going to be a lot of people that are going to say, oh, you can't do this. Oh, it's not possible.
Did you hear naysayers?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of that. I did. I heard, oh, there's just no way this is going to happen, or, oh, this money off of this. But at the end of the day, I was like, I believed in my idea, and I was so passionate about it. And that's what's really fueled us and propelled us, is that, you know, people resonated, and it was authentic, and it was, you know, it was a drive for us. And so I think that's what's really helped us. But, I mean, I would just tell people, I mean, if you're an entrepreneur and you know you want to be an entrepreneur, you want to take that leap, you know, you have to just believe in yourself and never let anyone tell you that there's something you can't do. I, in the sales world, I had a sales philosophy, and it was a quote from Salma Hayek, and I really, really loved it, and I kind of put that into my business. It goes, success is a form of mediocrity, so you have to learn to escape yourself, otherwise it's you in a different architecture. And then it's the only person who can stop you from winning is you. So it's like at the end of the day, there's going to be a lot of naysayers, but you have to propel yourself. You're the one that's going to get in the way of your dream, and you can't let that happen.
You know, that resonates so well with me. I was sitting in a
seminar last year. There was a woman standing there at the front of the room, and she said, if you have anyone around you, whether it's a family member, a friend, a client, anyone around you that doesn't believe that you 100% are capable, talented, and have the skill to achieve anything you want to, then remove them from your life. And it was amazing to me because I remember on that particular day I wasn't feeling my best. I remember thinking to myself, I do not have one person in my life right now at this moment that doesn't believe in me, except for that day it was me. I was just in a really poopy kind of place. And it was amazing to me. It was like that moment, that woman had just like between my eyes. And it's so true. You know, the studies show that the most successful people and the top performers, the one thing they say is that having belief in yourself is the number one most important thing that you need. So you obviously have mastered that piece. So I have another question for you based on that. You know, it appears that things took off really well and really quickly for you, and obviously there was a lot of dedication and hard work, but what made you unique compared to other people standing on the red carpet or out there with their video marketing, you know, businesses?
I mean, I think about that a lot because a lot of times you meet people and they think that it just happened quick. They think, you know, oh, you started this company and it just boomed. But it did, you know, it didn't really. I mean, it did take off quicker, I think, than most companies. But I think it was my network. I was kind of a connector like you are. You know, Deanna, you're such a great connector. And you know when you're a connector and you have this great network. I mean, I spent those 17 years building a lot of really solid connections. And so people don't realize that. Like, they think, oh, you can just go start a company. And you can be successful. But your network is everything. So when you have a really good, well-established network, your business is going to, I think, take off a lot quicker because you're able to tap into that network. Mm-hmm. So I think that was one of the main things that helped me with all those years of networking, of building these great relationships. I'm a big, big women's advocate of women in business and supporting other women business owners and associations. I had my own women's group. So I think those connections really catapulted us because I was able to go to those people first and say, here's what I'm doing. So I already had clients. You know, I didn't have to go out right away and just cold call, you know, which I'm not opposed to. I've done that too. That was my beginning of my career. But that was really nice for me because I got a lot of clients because I had relationships in the corporate world. So that helped me a lot. And then I think the other thing was we had a niche in what we were doing. There wasn't any other companies that were doing interview-style video marketing and doing what we were doing. So when we were going out to people, we weren't just like, hey, we're a video production company. We're going to come shoot a video for you. It was me being like a third party and able to be authentic with the client and asking these particular questions to the client. And so I think that was the other thing that really helped us and paved the way for us.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'll tell you, the connecting piece, I marvel at you. I mean, I see that I connect people, but you, lady, I swear there is no one that you don't know. I swear it. It's amazing.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Oh, I swear. It's amazing. You, I'm in awe. I just, it's amazing to me. What do you think some of the more important activities that you do on a regular basis in your business are that continue to contribute to the successful path you're setting up is? I mean, what are some of the key pieces that you say, this is critical to my business and it will always be something that I will focus on?
So I think that my sales background really helped me because when you have that sales background and every month, you know, you're in the corporate world and you have to turn in, you know, I had to do 15 new accounts a month minimum at Paychex when I was selling payroll for businesses. So I had that numbers game all the time at me, and I had that got to get it in, got to follow up, got to do that. So that consistency of following up and reaching out and making phone calls every day, I mean, that's definitely one of the main things, I think. You know, making the phone calls, reaching out, doing emails, you know, to my – following up with my current clients, like saying, hey, you guys, I know we did this video for you. Let's, you know, is there anything we can focus on in the next few months for you, any projects that you have coming up, you know, those kind of things. And then networking, like I said, smart networking, always making sure that I'm going to the right events or I'm, you know, supporting the right people and just, you know, working on collaborating and that kind of thing. I think between the follow-up, the consistency, and the networking, I think, you know, those are the main things that I do every day.
Mm-hmm. How important is social media in your business?
Yes, and imperative. Imperative. I mean, social media, like, okay, first of all, if you're not tweeting and you're not Instagramming and you're not doing any of that stuff, I think you're missing the boat because it's free marketing. So it's completely changed the way people do business now. I mean, it's the ultimate in free PR, and it helps build you as an authority in what you're doing in your industry. So for me, social media, I mean, that's one of the things that helped catapult us. It took me a long time to do it myself, and I actually do all my social media, so that's another full-time job.
I was going to say, how many hours, I mean, if you look at your average day, how much time are you spending in an average day on your social media?
Wow, that's a good question. I mean, I to build it up, I spend about 30 minutes every morning I was doing to build up, you know, in the beginning. Now it's to the point where I probably spend at least a few hours a day.
Wow.
On social media. Yeah. No, I was going to say, for my business, it's very imperative because we're the pulse of San Diego, and so it's like we're supposed to be not only, you know, knowing what's going on out there, but we are promoting a lot of events, you know, so we're promoting things, we're putting things out there. But, I mean, social media, I met my marketing girl on social media. I've met clients on social media. I've gotten clients out of it. I think you just have to do it.
Yeah. What are your primary for you? And I believe every business may have a slight difference depending on who their ideal client is. You know, different clients you're going to find on different forms of social media. Wouldn't you agree?
Definitely. Definitely.
Okay. But for you, I know you're a big Twitter person. I know you're an Instagram person. What other forms of social media do you spend a lot of your time on? Facebook?
Yeah, I mean, I would say for us, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. I think LinkedIn is always going to be great, especially when you're going after corporate and you're going after, you know, you're writing articles, things like that. I think LinkedIn is great. And then Pinterest, you know, we do Pinterest as well. And then probably our biggest is YouTube. I mean, our YouTube channel is huge for us because we're video. But
yeah.
I would say Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook are probably our main forms of social media.
Gotcha. So real quick while I'm thinking about it, I've got a couple more questions, but I don't want to forget to do this. I just know that with all the listeners that are listening, there's going to be people that may have questions or people that want to talk to you about your services that you offer, because I know you work with people all over the globe. Tell me, well, how can they follow up and contact you? What's the best way for people to reach you?
Yeah, so they can either call us at 619-500-1622. They can also email us or go to our website, thepulse.com. There's actually a link on there as well to contact us through the website, or they can email directly at thepulsesd@gmail.com. So they can get in touch with us anyway, or just tweet us or hit us up on social media, and we're really, really good about about following up.
Awesome. And just to be clear for all of our listeners, please, you know, describe the primary areas of video marketing that you currently deal with.
Yeah, so basically what we do is we do event coverage and we do video marketing, but we do it with an interview style. So I like to say we're like the E-News of San Diego, but instead of focusing on like the celebrity stuff, we're focusing more on the amazing businesses in San Diego and telling their story. So what we do is we've got a few different options. We can do a brand video for a client. We can come out and interview the owners of the company and create what we call a fun, hip marketing video, which is showcasing that company, their brand, what they're doing, also getting like testimonials, you know, from their best clients and put that together for them. So it's a video marketing package that we offer. We call that our spotlight package. That's one of our things that we do. The second thing, which, you know, you adapt with your business. The second thing for us is events. So we ended up doing a lot of events where, you know, we call it our red carpet or event package. So let's say you're hosting an event. You want to create a buzz. You know, you want you want the news to come out and cover your event. Everyone's like, I want the news, I want this, I want that. Well, instead of the news, which you can't count on being there, you know, you can hire us, and we are your news. We're media for hire. So what we do is come out, and we create this really fun buzz. You know, we have our microphone, we have our paparazzi, we have our video cameras. We are doing interviews with the sponsors of your event. We're getting testimonials. We're documenting the event on video. And then we're putting this awesome video together for you after the fact where we edit it, we produce it, we put music to it, we put your logo in there, and then you've got that for future events and future marketing for your company.
Gotcha.
So that's what we call our red carpet package. And then we also do like pre-event promotion and post-event promotion. So if you want to create a buzz, you want to get people to attend your event, we've got packages where we do a lot of social media. We get people excited about your event. We invite people. And then we also send it out after the fact. So we've got a few different packages, but that's more of our pre-event and post-event marketing package.
Gotcha.
Tell me, Cindy, we've talked about all these wonderful tips and tricks and strategies, but what are some of the big struggles that you have sometimes in your business?
I would say delegating for me, being on the type A.
Yep.
I know you can sympathize with me on that, Deanna.
Oh, yeah. I can barely delegate things to my husband at home, let alone my business to others around me. You know, I learned to do, I ask myself, does this really need to be, is this Deanna being Deanna? Does it really need to be done like the way I need it done, or does it just simply need to get completed? And when I ask myself that, I go, let it go. You know,
well,
so yeah, I agree.
That's the thing. I mean, I think for me, like in the beginning, I wanted to do everything myself. I was like this control person. Like, I need to do this. I need to edit. I mean, I edited. I learned all the editing. I learned everything about the cameras. I edited the first like 250 videos that we did because I wanted to be an expert, but then if I was going to delegate and outsource, I wanted to make sure that I had the right people, you know, being such a perfectionist. So I think delegating, that's hard for me, and I still struggle with that a lot, but you can't grow your business if you're going to try to do everything yourself. You're never going to get to that next level. So
yeah,
I would say, delegating, I would say time management, which I think is for everybody. I mean,
everyone,
there's never enough time.
Agree. So we're about to wrap up here in just a few seconds. I just want you to finish this sentence for us as short and to the point as possible. Video marketing is critical to a business because it's
imperative. If you're not doing video, you're missing the boat because it's 46% of people say that they would be more likely to seek out information about a product or service after they see it on a video.
Wow. That's a huge percentage. We are visual beings, aren't we?
We are.
Cindy, I can't thank you enough again for joining us today. You know, as I said, I'm one of your biggest fans. I adore you. I'm so impressed by you. And thank you so much. I know everyone enjoyed hearing all of your information today. And again, if any of our listeners want to follow up or just want to boost their results in their business, please reach out to Cindy Matalucci, the founder and powerhouse behind the Pulse SD. Thank you so much again for joining us. And everyone, join us next month for Sassy Sales and Business Development. I'm your host, Deanna Fodder. Have a wonderful and powerful week, ladies. Thank you.
Thank you.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.